Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast, where we talk about all things service industry related, food and drinks and music. Anything we really want to talk about, honestly, it's what it's for. If you haven't had a chance yet, please go watch my show Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition about chef owned and operated restaurants. We find the best local hidden gems, find out about their lives, history of the restaurant, of course, cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. Today, I am hanging out with the beautiful, lovely, and fiance of one of my good friends, Alana Biedenbender. Did I say that right?
Biedenbender. I know. No one can pronounce that. I'm not going to miss the last name if I have to be completely honest there.
I knew I was going to fuck it up, but I went for it anyway.
Well, kudos to you for trying.
Say it for me one more time.
Biedenbender.
Biedenbender. Biedenbender.
Yeah.
It's better German,
yes? The funniest thing I've heard of someone making fun of my last name was vending machine. And so your dear friend, Ash, my fiance, threatened to change his last name legally to vending machine so that I would be stuck with it when we got married. I told him if he trolls me like that, I'll fucking annul it.
I mean, it's not, it could be worse names. My mom's maiden name was Walkin' Spa.
That's hard to spell too.
Walkin' Spa. Yeah, they just called my grandfather Walkie. Seemed easy.
Well, still, I'm jacking his last name, and he is not pulling one over on me.
It's a much simpler one. Hawks. So you'll be indeed. Alana. You'll be Alana Hawks. Funny.
That I will be.
Funny story, my sister is actually also named Alana.
Oh, really?
Her original last name was Parker, and it is now Huizinga, or Huizinga.
Huizinga. That sounds like it should be a catchphrase from Big Bang Theory.
Huizinga. Yeah.
Huizinga.
So yeah, she went from simple to Huizinga. So the opposite direction which you're headed. But that's fun. Do you have a date set for the wedding yet?
We're actually going to be talking about that over the next few days because the world's pretty batshit if you hadn't noticed. So we're going to be making some decisions and plans, just kind of figuring out what's going to work right now.
Yeah, you should just go to Vegas and elope. You close enough. By the way, Lana's coming to us all the way from the sunny Los Angeles.
Indeed, I'm a California native, and I'm from suburban LA. Lucky me, I've dealt with LA nice my entire life.
Well, that's fun. I have an uncle who's a radiologist who lives in downtown suburban LA. I've met him once.
A grand total of once. Sounds like you're real close.
That is my father's brother. He has like 9 brothers and sisters. So like, yeah, we've only met a couple of them here and there.
Very large family.
Yeah. We were closer to my mom's side. But we did see, yeah, he had a pool and everything, you know, palm tree in the front yard, LA suburb.
We got a lot of those palm trees, not a whole lot of many others.
All right, so anyway, just drive to Vegas, fuck it. No? Don't want to get married you don't want to get married by Elvis?
Oh, did he tell you that story?
No, did I just stumble into something?
Yes, you did.
Oh, well, do tell.
Okay, so my parents are still married after, gosh, I think it's 25 plus years now. They were originally married in Las Vegas. They wore jean shorts and flip-flops, and they got married by a blind priest in some dinky little chapel off the strip.
Cool.
And they had a fake church wedding because my father's rather Catholic family was not going to acknowledge anything if it wasn't in a church. So they did the whole 9 yards that way. And then I, 13-year-old me, had the pleasure of witnessing them renew their vows in Vegas. They were married by Elvis, and they sat in the back of a red convertible and I just wanted to die at the moment because nothing could be more embarrassing. Because you were 13. When you're a preteen. Yeah.
So were you frowning in like all the wedding photos then?
I was just mortified. I just, probably
your eyes were rolled to the back of your head in every picture.
I mean, it turned into Teresa, do you take Jim to be your hunka hunka burden love?
Oh, and classic.
She calls him HHBL.
Which so, stands for hunka hunka burning love. So you don't want to follow in your parents' footsteps is what you're saying?
I'm saying that I think that Ash and I can do better than Las Vegas.
I love that you call him Ash.
But we'll probably get up to some kind of mischief of our own, knowing us.
Something quirky. Something definitely quirky.
Indeed.
So
nothing frilly, nothing, you know, no circus affair.
Grand Canyon? Yeah.
Who knows? Honestly what the discussion is next. Where should we do
this? I thought
where
you were going to tell me that he was determined to get you to do the Elvis wedding too.
Oh, no.
No, no. I didn't see Josh as a big Elvis wedding person. Yeah, no. Definitely not.
He is out on the Elvis wedding. We're in agreement there. Not for us.
So you've had a lot of time off lately because you're in L.A. and you work as a server.
Actually, my positions have been back of house.
Oh, I you were just cooking.
As a line cook. Yes, specifically okay. In pastry. I am a pastry chef.
I feel like to clear this up real quick, we have to tell them that I've only ever met you one time. And and that was like 2 months ago. And
about
2 months ago. Was the first time you came to my house, but you'd actually been in town for like a week. Do you want to tell the story?
We went stir crazy because we'd just been cooped up so long that we did a distancing road trip. He really wanted to show me his college town and where he'd spent several years of his life. Got to meet you and Jordan, obviously. So I got to meet more of Ash's people and get to know some of his history. And my God, we needed a break from our apartment. We are so sick of being in here. We've been referring to this year as December add whatever day it is past the 31st, because 2020 didn't end, let's be real.
I mean, it did, but 2021 is just proving to be even possibly crazier.
Yeah, it's really
not that it could got any crazier already. But the aliens land in 2022, so get ready.
Well, hey, I'm buckled up for that. I just hope that they're of the variety that want to be cool and get to know us and aren't sizing us up for their own menu.
I hear they're just coming for skateboards. They're like, skateboarding is cool, and they just want to come, you know, rip some fucking tubes.
Well, you know, if they want to give like the Tony Hawks of tomorrow a run for their money, by all means, come on, aliens. I'd love to meet you.
I think they're shorter and like skinnier, so that, you know, they have that perfect skateboard body, you know, like a 12-year-old boy.
That big enlarged kind of fly, man. They're gonna really have to think of balancing.
Yeah, I don't know if trucker hats will fit on their heads or not, but I guess we'll find out. Ba-da-da-ch. So anyway, you guys decided to travel from LA across the country, and you get all the way to Savannah. And I'm actually working the bar one night when you're here, and because it's COVID, everybody's wearing masks. These two come into the bar and actually order drinks from me without even telling me that, you know, that, hey, what's up, or nothing. They just got drinks, wandered away, hung out, and went about the way. I don't hear back from, I hear like 3 days later, Josh asked me my address. And that's when I'm like, okay, he's got to be in town somewhere, because he doesn't ask my address unless like he's just going to randomly show up. But I think you might have asked me that 3 days prior. And then finally, you guys just like showed up at the door out of the blue.
He tells me it's an ongoing thing that he does with you. So I was down to do the prank to route as well.
So rude. God. We had so much more time together. So we literally, so the point of this whole thing is that we've only ever like hung out for maybe 2 or 3 hours in our whole lives. So
unfortunately, because you seem really cool.
I mean, you're pretty cool. That's why we're hanging out. So I guess we can find out more about each other since Josh wanted to keep us apart the whole week.
He told me that in private, you have threatened his life if he doesn't follow through on marrying me.
Oh, did I? He should probably do that then.
Yeah. I hear that you'll kill him if he doesn't make good on that.
That's right. You tell him that's set in stone. Approval.
It's always preferential if you get along with your significant other's people instead of like, okay, we tolerate that person because we like you.
Right. That happens, I think, a lot. And then when people finally break up, they're like, we never liked him anyway. Like, why didn't you say something?
Right. It always comes out when you break up with someone like, oh, we never liked that person. Okay.
Or it's just pity.
How long ago?
Right. Like maybe like when we first started dating would have been, key. But anyway, you guys are a fantastic, lovely couple. And so you actually...
So are you and your wife.
Oh, well, thank you. So back to you work in the back of the house.
Pardon?
You are a cook. A pastry chef.
I'm a pastry chef.
A creator of desserts that are profoundly delicious.
Yes, that is my realm. And I consider ice cream and frozen desserts my specialty. I take a lot of inspiration from nostalgia foods as well. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Pop-Tarts and
Jordan the loves like Pop-Tarts. Of
Americana. But I like to flip that on its head. I also love the fancy European desserts like entremets with mirglaze. I've ended up doing a lot of plating in my career so far. So that kind of led me to a project I worked on last year, which was a food styling portfolio that ended up being thrown up on social media for a hot second.
What is that? A food?
It was essentially a food styling portfolio that I threw up on Instagram. Yeah, with the pandemic hitting, so many people are out of work and hours are just so limited, and even being in kitchen quarters, that's tight before pandemic. So things have, for lack of a better word, been a shit show since COVID hit. And
yeah, I've been shut down. Like,
finally gonna go out on my own, and it just turned into this thing where social media was eclipsing the original intent of the project and wanting to do my own thing. And I decided to stop investing my time and resources into some bullshit social media game I didn't want to play in the first place and turn my attention to really developing some solid products to get out there.
Cool. So what'd you make?
I'm not quite ready to reveal what's up my sleeve yet, but I'm hoping to have something out at some point this year. I'm not going to jinx myself and give it a time period because,
maybe next time we talk, it'll be out.
Hopefully.
So have you ever made Pop-Tarts, like homemade Pop-Tarts? You ever tried to make homemade Pop-Tarts?
I have. I am a classically trained pastry chef. I've also trained in alternative formats, vegan, raw vegan, gluten-free. So I want to be able to sort of be a jack of all trades in that sense. I think it's important to have an understanding of different customer needs, diner needs, market needs in this day and age. Oh, but yeah. everything is informed from those classic skills. And one of those skills is lamination. And that's what we call the process of puff pastry and basically making croissants. So
it's lamination.
That dough is filled with layers and layers and layers and layers of butter and your flour mixture like a book. So that creates the puff.
And the flakiness, all the flaky layers.
Exactly. So I did learn how to make the fancy Pop-Tarts. I ended up making a savory variety as well. And ooh. Ash tells me, you made me fancy Hot Pockets.
Well, you know, it's all referenced.
Indeed.
So tell me more about savory Pop-Tarts. What'd you do?
Oh, I just swapped the filling out to be something you would find in one of those frozen things that you would pick up in the grocery store. But I like to think I could make a better filling than something that's been made in a factory and frozen.
You could do like a pate.
I want to say that it was kind of a breakfasty mix without any eggs. Just something that was sausagey, meaty, definitely cheesy with a good herbal element.
Is it weird that I kind of want one with cream cheese and caviar?
Cream cheese and caviar. Now that's a combination I would not have thought of.
Okay. So Wheat Thins. Wheat Thin crackers. Okay. Get some Wheat Thin crackers, cream cheese, and just, you know, traditional black caviar, whatever. You don't have to spend too much money. And yeah, it's amazing.
I gotta say, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm plant-based, so the fish eggs ain't for me. But I do hear that they're very pinky up and make you feel fancy, much like oysters, if that's something you're also into.
It's more kind of like this saltiness with the creaminess of the cream cheese and then the crunch of the cracker. And the flavors just all really weirdly go together. Just like you put cream cheese sushi.
I can totally picture it. I haven't been plant-based my entire life, just for most of it at this point. So I have tried caviar at some points, and it definitely has a very strong salt kick to it.
Oh, yeah. But congratulations on saving all the animals. I posted this cow.
It's a personal thing where it's the texture, actually. I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm weird in the sense that I can appreciate a great cook in terms of meat. And I am definitely into what's going on at the Grill Chef station.
You just don't want to chew it.
And I appreciate those dishes so much. I just can't get around it in my own head to consume them.
Good for you. I don't know. Good for your taste buds, I guess. They know better. I got this. There's this cow video that I posted the other day about the cow laying there listening to music and like lays his head in this girl's lap and it's super adorable. And just like, oh, it's just like my dogs. And I'm like, I can't eat steak ever again. And then I'm like, I'm hungry and I drive through Wendy's. It's bad.
Sometimes my resolve is hard and I'll just kind of glance over at something Ash is eating and think, I'd say what I miss the most is probably a burger, a legit burger.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from. I mean, the Beyond's all right. It's better than most.
I'm also unfortunate in that I have a soy allergy.
Oh,
so
no.
That's a no-no for me, too.
Though my favorite vegetarian burger is a black bean burger, like a really good black bean burger. That's like, I don't need fake meat. I just need a black bean burger done right is amazing.
Used to be able to do that. Beans also.
Oh, no. No-no for Why me. You can't have beans either?
I developed a GI disorder in my mid-20s. Took about a year to diagnose, but I have a condition called gastroparesis, where my stomach empties at an absurdly slow rate. So I have to take some medications to help with my digestive process. And I developed a lot of food intolerances I hadn't previously had in that time. So everything is kind of always in flux and changing. But as of now, there are definitely some things I miss. I'd say if I could have anything back, it would be a toss-up between gluten and soy, because I love Asian food. Roy Choi is one of my favorite chefs of all time. I would eat anything he makes, and I miss his food dearly.
Can you have rice?
But because I do work pastry, I also want to be able to bury my face in the cake.
That is the saddest story I've ever heard.
I know the pastry chef who can't eat the unicorn cake.
No, that's like a vegan grill master.
I've actually met one of those. I used to work with one.
But was he cooking meat, or was he like, you know, just a grill master for cooking all things not meat?
Cooking meat. Money's money.
Touche. Okay. All right. Whatevs. That is okay.
I've actually met a strangely large number of chefs in LA, especially, that will cook meat but are personally vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah, I guess money's money, huh?
Indeed, especially out here.
That's funny. Never thought about that. It's like the alcoholics who are still bartenders. It's what I know how to do. I don't have to taste the product. It's just I'll serve up the death no problem.
Just won't eat. Bartending is actually something I've been getting into recently, because there's so much crossover with the chemistry aspects of bartending and pastry.
Oh, you gonna get fancy with it, huh?
Uh-huh. I'm definitely delving into that mixology realm. I want to make my own cordials and whatnot.
It's a little dash.
I mean, I'm already a dash of blueberry syrup.
Syrup's a key. Everything's in a squirt bottle. Yeah, no. It's kind of like pastry decorating. It's all already in squirt bottles. Just a little dash here, yeah, a little dash there. A little color from this, a little bitter from that.
Yeah, you got a flavor balance. Nobody wants a bomb of sweetness to their face. And if you do, I don't know how the dessert cocktail is a thing unless you're having like a float or something of the like. You got to balance your drinks too.
I mean, you can have one. That's why it's like a dessert cocktail, like a orange chocolate mocha. Fucking martini. It's like, I guess.
I'll totally put Kahlua in some cocoa. That's a classic. But I personally don't like consuming my sugar bombs in a full on alcoholic form. I'm talking about like those slushy margaritas that are just kind of like sickly sweet and they're constantly churning.
Blue.
That's just not my personal deal.
Blue. Raspberry, razzmatazz margarita.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to leave to my 21-year-old self.
There you go. I like to taste my tequila. I'm going to drink a margarita.
Ah, tequila and me have had some interesting experiences.
I think it's a pretty standard thing with tequila.
Right? There's a reason it's tequila, right?
I'm a fan of mezcal, honestly. Like, my dad lived in Mexico for about a little over a decade, I guess, before he passed.
And oh, no shit. That's awesome.
Mazunte.
My dad's an Añejo man.
Añejo. But they have...
That's his jam. That's his nightcap.
But everything...
Good Añejo.
Good Añejo. I like a good Añejo, too. But they have, like, crazy infused mezcals, like, all over the place that are, like, made by, like, local, you know, mezcal farmers and shit. And so everything from orange is my favorite, like an orange infused mezcal. It's kind of like drinking.
Oh yeah, and it's Grand a beautiful Marnier, flavor, like, especially when mezcal. You get the smoky notes. I'm kind of a sucker for a good smoky drink. Whiskey was my go-to for the longest time, and then I overdid it one night. I had the worst pounding headache the next day, and I was in culinary school for pastry at the time, and the Savory kids were using our deck ovens to learn bread, and they were setting the fucking alarms off every 5 minutes, and my head was just blaring, and I was thinking, I'm gonna fucking kill the next person who does this.
You gotta drink the water.
My head's gonna explode.
And you're like, fuck whiskey. I'm done with you.
Yeah, I'm like, we're the ones who make the fucking bread, yo.
They have a scorpion-infused mezcal down there. It's like, literally, there's a scorpion floating in the bottle. Which, I never tried it.
I don't know that I can do that.
Yeah, I never tried that one, but it's a real thing.
That's
certainly
exotic.
I think it's like
points for creativity.
I think it's like a smoke roasted scorpion, right? Just and then infused, so it's just kind of a smoky mezcal scorpion flavor, whatever that would taste like.
Well,
I should have tried it. I should try it next time.
Appetizing. Just, you know, what's my whistle?
I think the fun part's just like pouring it in front of people, right? Like, it's just like, all right, this is what we're drinking. Yeah, see that? Yeah, that's, yeah, you're drinking that. Yeah.
That, all of us.
We're all drinking
insect,
this.
Insect, bug, slash, whatever a scorpion is technically classified as, surprise.
Yep. That's why they put the worm in mezcal, though, you know, to make sure that it was actually alcohol and it wasn't too watered down, because if it was too watered down, the worm would actually rot, and you could tell that the alcohol was bad. So the worm was originally there just to allow the consumer to know that it was in fact gonna get you wasted.
Well, if you're gonna be putting your money down, you definitely want to make sure that the booze is gonna deliver, especially if you're having a bad day or if you really need to celebrate, like, hey, it's your birthday.
You're like, this is water.
Yeah, you go to any kind of club or music venue in Los Angeles and you're definitely not getting a full shot. You are getting some watered down crap cocktail.
That's why you don't drink in LA. And it probably costs like $8 million.
Unless you're at an actual bar. Because then they can't cheat you like that as easily.
Oh, it's the clubs that get you, huh?
The clubs are a lot worse about it. I'm usually a little more cautious about ordering a mixed drink at a bar, so I typically keep it really simple and go for something like a gin and tonic. I really like the herbal notes. And I like a really strong kick of acidity.
Really about your cocktails. I guess when you can't eat foods anymore, you have to switch to the liquids.
No, you just got to get creative about your foods. And this is why, as frustrating as having those limitations is, it opens up this other realm of possibility for me and for all people, really, because even Elizabeth Pruitt of Tartine is gluten intolerant, and so they've now pushed forward a lot of innovative
new inventions
of alternative flowers like hazelnut, acorn, buckwheat, and it's an opportunity to bring a different complexity of flavor than has been there before. And I'm a firm believer that maybe we don't just go for trying to make a version of that that's just
identical,
same. Yeah, think of it like trying to replace a traditional burger patty with an Impossible burger. Like, you know, it's not really the same thing. I think the better route is to just make a really bomb dish that just happens to not have those things in it.
That's why I like the black bean burger.
Indeed. It's all about just making a great dish and not trying to make something that's a replica that doesn't quite work. And I think we are advancing a lot in the direction of being able to make things that are more in line of the traditional dish, but we're just not quite there yet. And I've noticed that a lot of diners say that it really does impact their experience when they have this idea in their mind of what that flavor and what that texture should be, and then
when it doesn't live up to expectations,
deliver on it. So you're setting yourself up in a situation where you're already at a disadvantage and you're poised to lose before that customer has even taken their first bite.
And that's the trick, huh? Like, it's a lot harder, I think, to transfer, you know, like people who are used to it being weird or you know, have been eating vegan sausage, right? Like, you want you want it to look like the thing that what used to be meat. You want it to taste like the thing that you want, that you're trying not to eat, but it's never really going to. So it really is just like a process of getting your taste buds adjusted to enjoying it more so than the other, you know? And I think it's just time. But also, yeah, you're right. We should just have new things that aren't just trying to be the old thing.
I never understand when cooks and chefs complain about having to make a really great vegetable-based dish. Like, if you can't cook a fucking vegetable, what are you doing? Seriously. It's a vegetable. You can't be creative with vegetables. What the fuck?
Vegetables are delicious. They have, I mean, they're sweet. They're savory. They're, most of them aren't actually, in fact, vegetables sometimes. They're fruits, but we call them vegetables.
Well, yes, that's a different topic indeed. Does it have seeds? Does it not have seeds?
Right.
We all know tomato is really a fruit.
Zucchini, cucumber, squash, all of these things are fruits. Really?
Something, and that just blows people's minds because they can't wrap their brains around the fact that that's a fruit, but it's not sweet.
It's a fruit. Definition is a soft, a protective skin layer with a soft outer shell and then seeds and shit in the middle.
I'd say you basically summed it up perfect that way.
Yeah. Nailed it. A carrot, technically a vegetable, is any vegetable matter that comes off of the plant itself, right? So leaves is a vegetable, you know, lettuce.
Yes, you can use the carrot tops, which people don't think of a lot. Like, you can use beet tops as well. I've had carrot pesto before.
Dandelions are super bitter, but we can make little sandwiches out of them.
Yeah, dandelion is kind of a strong one to have to balance, but if you're feeling
you gotta cook with it, that's something you can also do. No bueno. Dandelion fritters. My mom used to make us dandelion fritters as kids. Like, just you just dough up dandelions, fry them, dip them in ranch. Delicious.
All you need is that hidden valley and you're golden.
Uh-huh. I guess. My mom made crazy stuff, though. Like, she was a product of the 60s and 70s. So, like, she would use French dressing as, like, a marinade on, like, chicken and then just roast it. And it was actually, it's delicious. Actually, it's like a sweet and sour kind of chicken. But you would never think to just drown some chicken in French dressing and throw it in the oven for a little while, right?
Oh, definitely not.
Or anything. And just like drown some vegetables. Like, seriously, it is actually good. If you took, you know, just mixed stir fry vegetables, put French dressing on it, put it in the oven and roast it for a little while, it's all going to break down. Just turn into this, like, basically a sweet and sour glaze. Put it over rice. It's fucking good.
And that's what I mean about thinking outside the box, too. Because if we aren't using our creativity in this profession, you're just stagnating and you're just making recreations of the dishes that others have done. At least consider that dish and think about what makes it great. Take inspiration from it, but put your own spin on it.
Yeah, put your own spin on it. I like it. I like it. So, are you going to go back to work sometime when you're allowed to, or you want to keep trying to do your own thing?
I would love to do my own thing. The question is legality right now and marketing budget, because let's face it, this is a rough world to be in, and everybody's pocketbook has been hit hard in one way or another by this.
You could do the in-home pastry classes.
I'm hoping for bars to get open again and to just bartend for a bit. I don't mind doing that.
It's a good time. You could do in-home pastry classes. That's the thing
I've
people are doing now.
I've thought about that. I'm kind of just taking a beat to position myself and consider what direction is truly going to be the best way for me to go. I believe in my ability to adapt and take these skills somewhere that we haven't previously seen. And that's something I wanted to do to begin with. I did want to be pirate captain of my own ship. I'm actually really interested in creating dining experiences that really engage as many of your senses as you can. But if you can't have diners in a physical space, the question becomes, how can you create that same kind of experience outside of the restaurant? And I think that's a question that a lot of this industry has had to grapple with as well. How do you create hospitality if your diners can't dine there?
How fantastic question.
Sure, your food and your plate up looks beautiful if it has to be in a to-go container.
Right. I think everyone struggled with that one, which is why I don't Uber Z.
And there have been some embarrassments along the way. I am not going to name names, but
I do not.
I've seen some pictures.
I do not Uber Eats. I will, nope. I will not. No. But
nobody likes receiving something that's a takeout or delivery dish that just looks like, did you just kind of tornado this together?
Right. Hey, we got plenty of jobs in Georgia. If you get Josh's happy butt out of California, come on. We'll be here.
I have lived in California my entire life. I definitely need a break from it. But as you know, my man's in the film industry. So a lot of opportunity is out here for him. And I'm more flexible with where I can be and where I can work.
Oh, we're going to get him remotely. We're going to get him remotely. It's going to happen.
I'm hoping so. We're both sick of the people here. It's really just the LA nice thing. It's not necessarily pointing a finger and saying it's this group of people or it's you in particular. It's just kind of a general annoyance with life, and I think that all
Los Angeles
got amplified by the pandemic.
Oh, for sure. No, Northern California, highly enjoyable.
Actually, I lived in the Bay Area for a few years, and I
More north.
Got my very first job in a commercial kitchen up there with a James Beard Award nominated chef. He's still my role model to this day, and I wish I could have worked for him longer. My life just happens to kind of implode. Shortly after I got that job, the person I had been dating, living with, and previously engaged to cheated on me.
Oh,
and
that bastard. Where is he?
Stole thousands of dollars from me.
Oh,
so
no.
So I had to leave the Bay because I couldn't support myself on minimum wage cook salary alone.
Oh, not in San Francisco. And
definitely not. And it was a wonderful city to cook in. I loved my time in the kitchen there, and I definitely respect the hell out of my former boss, and I still call him chef when I refer to him to this day. I really look up to him, and I hope that's the kind of boss that I could be if I am ever in a position to have a brick and mortar again, because we don't know where this world's going.
Oh, it'll happen. No, it won't be too long. Vaccine's out.
Boy.
I was born in Monte Rio, California.
I did not know you were a Californian.
Which is in Sonoma County. So up north,
so
north,
up
north,
where the wine is.
North, north, Redwoods, north, yeah. And a cabin in the Redwoods on Bohemian Avenue, Sonoma County, Monte Rio, California. Yeah.
It is beautiful up there. One of the places I trained was this ultra hippie place in Mendocino County, and I was right off of Glass Beach. I lived in a haunted inn for a few months while I studied there.
How haunted was it?
It has been featured on every single paranormal ghost hunter type show there's been. So there's obviously debate as to whether the paranormal phenomena is real or not there. I did have a weird experience my very last night. Heard some kind of noise in the middle of the night. And then the next morning I wake up and it looks like somebody has punched the screen of the TV in with their fist. I hadn't gone near it. I'd been asleep. It was perfectly flat the night before. And I just said, okay, you know, I don't know about this.
Was there anybody who could have punched it? Was there anybody who could have punched it?
Not unless they snuck into my room without me knowing and made that fairly loud noise and snuck out without any attention being raised.
Just came in and punched the TV and left.
If that's your ultimate goal in life.
I worked in a haunted inn called the Buxton Inn in Granville, Ohio. It's been on all the food shows too. But I was a busser when I was like 15, and I was a server when I was like 18 there. And it was haunted by the lady in blue, who was like she died up in like room 17 or something. I don't remember the exact room, but there was one time I was standing in like the dish tank area. And there's two doors to my right, two doors to my left, and then two doors in front of me. And they're all swinging doors, right? They just swing back and forth either direction. And I like set the bus tub down, and I shit you not, all of the doors just went all at the same time, like from every direction.
I have arrived.
And I dropped that bus tub down, and I went running to my manager, like, Marty! Like, she's
well,
like,
hey, if she wants to jump in the dish pit, let her.
She's like, what? Did you see a ghost? And I was like, all the doors just started swinging, like, all at the same time. She's like, yeah, it happens. And I'm like, nah, not cool.
If I were a ghost, I'd probably want to troll people like that too. I imagine it would get pretty boring being a ghost and just having to haunt the same place all
for
the
eternity.
You know, it's a ripe opportunity for mischief if they're truly out there.
Indeed. Touche. Hell yeah. Well, I hope you don't have to work in any more haunted inns in your future. Same goes for me.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I don't mind. I like to visit them. I don't have to work in them. It's too much time with the ghosts.
Yeah, let's aim for kitchens that are not haunted or cursed, or you know, have their own "Don't Say Macbeth" in the theater type deal.
Sometimes that's just the chef.
Sometimes, but we don't say that.
No. He's a fan. He's fantastic, or she's fantastic. Whoever, they're great at their job. They're perfectionists.
Yes, and there is no answer that is not yes, chef.
That's right.
That's not going to get you fired.
Good times. All right, Alana. That's probably going to wrap us up here.
All right. Anything else you'd like to know? I have some nuts food stories if you're interested.
Some witch food stories?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what kind of food story?
I have a few crazy food stories you're interested.
Let's hear a food story before we go. Yeah.
Okay. So cooking at an unnamed establishment in Los Angeles, I was required to accommodate a VIP guest who was a talk show host who had gotten quite tipsy. And he was presented, I'm not naming names because I'm not putting my professionalism quite on the line like that. So I'm not going to call anybody out. All right,
but there's a drunk talk show host. Go ahead.
Yes, there's a drunk talk show host being schmoozed So I'm to plate one of every dessert there is for this guy, and all of the ice cream scoops have to be in a perfect spherical shape. You can't just scoop the ice cream. It has to look like a perfect globe. And you have to put the cannoli inside of a Cuban cigar box that was specially sourced with this place's specific coffee beans lining the bottom.
Okay. Does this happen for anybody else, or is this just the coffee box for the host?
The cigar box came out for any VIP guest,
Okay.
whether it was somebody who was connected to one of the upper up chefs or owners, or whether it was somebody who was definitely trying to be impressed. That was an interesting experience, certainly.
S Did he eat
I had a
every one
boss
of the
at one point.
desserts?
I did not get to witness that as I was at my station. It was just kind of one of those moments where you think, LA, man,
LA
LA.
man, that ice cream better be perfectly spherical. There's gonna be
Yep,
hell
better not be one
to
imperfection.
pay.
There are some things I definitely can't say for the sake of my own career and professionalism, but I've gotten massaged in a lot of fine dining restaurants around the city, and
The
it is
important
like the Super Bowl every single service. The
the
pressure is super high, the expectations are super high, and we do have a lot of VIP patrons. A
it's a
story I
very
got from a general manager once was related to what happens if there is a celebrity who has standing reservations at your establishment and all your tables are full. Apparently, what you're to do is to physically pick the table up and move it if you have to get the party currently dining there out your door.
What?
Obviously, you're
Literally
going to
just come
pay their
over.
meal. You're going to give them a super comped meal on the house, but standing reservation for VIP, apparently all of us normal folk or non-famous folk can,
Just
expect
come
to be
over and pick up your
swooshed.
table, literally,
Yes, pick up
out
your
from under
table and
you.
walk it in a new direction so that VIP can have what they want when they want it, exactly when they want it.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes.
You'd think they just make sure they had the table ready for the reservation.
Oh, but then they couldn't put more butts in seats that night if they didn't show up.
Rude. All right, reason number 52 not to live in Los Angeles. You
Yeah,
might get
it's
your table removed from you if John Cusack walks in or something.
I hear the rules are a little bit different depending on where you are in the Hollywood or fame, whatever scheme. Like, oh, we
Right, but if
do
there's
that
just a
for
tourist at
this
dinner,
echelon of people, but not this echelon of people.
if there's just a tourist at the table, they're taking the table.
Indeed, they
Indeed.
are.
That is fucking nuts. Touche.
It really is. It really is.
Goddamn. All right. Well, Alana, this has been a pleasure hanging out with you. We have to do this again sometime, hopefully in person.
Oh, definitely. I feel like there's so much we could still touch on, and I can talk about food forever. So now is probably a good time to wrap it for this go.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We'll talk about more food, more pastry, and more crazy stories about eating out in Los Angeles.
Hell yeah. Just
Yeah.
as long as they're not so specific that they're going to have people coming after me at some point.
All right. And since you're not on social media, do you have anything that anywhere you want to shout out or anything?
I'm currently just kind of taking a beat to gather myself and pilot my new direction, but I'll
All right.
update as soon as I've got something I would solidly like to share.
We'll save the shout outs till next time then. And yeah. Love you long time. Tell Josh I love him and Tell him what he knows what'll happen if he doesn't get that marriage taken care of. Okay.
All right. I'll be sure to remind him that he has a warrant for his death. He's got that wanted poster if he doesn't marry me.
It's hanging on. It's hanging on my office wall.
It's there.
All right. Well, listen next time, guys. Thanks for listening this time. Make sure to go watch Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition on Amazon Prime and follow us on Facebook at Independent Lasagna, as well as Beyond the Check on Instagram at Beyond the Check _ and at Twitter at Independent Lasagna Productions. Alana, cheers.
Cheers.
Woo!